Blog Talk Radio.
To be back here on Reaching Out Radio, and good evening, my sister, Evangelist Montel Fields, and Dustin. I'm Brian Fouts.
And I'm Leah Fouts.
And we're excited to be back here on Reaching Out Radio, where we are reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you in the listening area, Leah and I are with Hazak Ministries. And our ministry was started with the vision to bring hope, healing, and encouragement to those who are lost and or hurting or hopeless.
Hazak, hang on a second. I lost my place. The word Hazak is a Hebrew word. Sorry, folks. It means to make or be strong, to strengthen, to sustain, to support, and to encourage. We hope that you, our listeners, will be encouraged with our message this evening.
And at the end of the program, if you've got a question or comment that you'd like to share, please feel free to give us a call. That phone number where you can reach us is 347-308-8837. That number again is 347-308-8837. That way you can reach Montel or Leah or myself, and we look forward from hearing from you. And listen, as we get ready to start this evening, my bride's going to be praying, and I've got just a special prayer that I want to send out over the air as she begins to pray. Father, I just want to lift up a lot of the weather that's been taking place across the country. There seems to be a lot of severe weather in different parts of the country. Here in Houston, they had a lot of rain that took place today, a lot of flooding in that town. And even out here in the country where we live, the Lord dumped 18 inches of rain last night out here in the Austin County area. We've had a couple of we've had several flooded roads. We even had a road that was washed out partway, and a lot of the creeks and beds were all overflowing. And so, Father, we just want to lift up all of those people that live in those areas. Some of them have lost their homes. Some of them have been pulled out by airboats. And so, Father, we just want to lift those people up to you right now.
Heavenly Father, I also lift up the program tonight. I pray for protection for us and for Montel and Dustin, Father, and for Reaching Out Radio. I pray against any technical difficulties and against any demonic powers of the air. Father, we give you this time, and we pray that you will use it and bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, greetings from the hill in New Ulm, Texas.
Good evening, y'all.
Well, and before we get started, Lee and I just want to share with you an important reminder with regards to our topic and discussion.
Our hope and prayer is that this show would be informational, educational, and should provide you, the listener, with some great ideas to help you in your daily walk with the Lord. So, Brian, let's get started.
Yee-haw! Well, I'm back in the saddle again.
Oh, my gosh. Where did you find that song?
Well, I actually found that song in your old stash of records, dear.
Oh, you are so bad.
Well, partner, it'd be on this date back in 1939 that your favorite Leah, country western singer Gene Autry, recorded "I'm Back in the Saddle Again."
Hey, he was my favorite country singer, and so was his horse, Champion.
You're such a country girl.
Yep, and I'm from Texas. So what do you have for us today in Jewish history?
Well, I thought that you might find this kind of interesting since you like comic books.
I do, especially horses.
Well, look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman.
Superman? This is Jewish history?
Well, yes, it is, because it would be on this date back in 1938 that two Jews from Cleveland created a brand new comic book.
You're kidding, right? You're always pulling my leg.
Well, not today. You see, it was on April the 18th that Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster created a brand new action comic book for the very first time in Action Comic Books number one, and it was called Superman.
A comic book. I am no longer amazed, just stunned.
And here's one for you, my bride. It was on this day in 1890 that after 35 years of the New York State officials overseeing the arrival of more than 8 million immigrants, many of whom were Jews from Eastern Europe, at the Castle Garden, that the United States government assumed control of immigration. And so on this day, Congress appropriated $75,000 to build the first facility at Ellis Island. And this would be the entry point for untold numbers of Jewish immigrants.
Who knew?
Well, I thought you did. Anyway, I've got another horse story for you.
Oh, boy, I like horse stories.
Well, it would be on this day in 1775 that Paul Revere would ride his horse from Charleston to Lexington to warn Massachusetts colonists of the arrival of the British troops during the American Revolution.
The British are coming! The British are coming!
Ah, yes.
Hey, if this was a horse story, then what was the name of his horse?
Ha! I knew you would ask that. I found an article that said it is believed that the Charleston merchant, John Larkin, loaned Paul Revere a horse, which was later confiscated by the British. According to the Larkin family genealogy, published back in 1930, the name of that lost mare was Brown Beauty. So there.
Boy, you're good. So what did you find in world history today?
Well, now, on April the 18th in 1934, the Reverend Dietrich Bonhoeffer appears to recognize the threat posed by the Nazis. He would go on to write to a friend on this day that the National Socialism has brought an end to the church in Germany.
Wow, I never knew that.
And what do you have for us in women's history today, my dear?
You are so funny. In the year 1905, and on this day, Baroness von Suttner received the Nobel Peace Prize and delivered her Nobel address. She would become the first woman to receive the Peace Prize and the second woman to receive a Nobel Prize.
Well, now that is amazing.
Well, I can tell it's time for weird history. You're over there laughing again.
Yeah, it is. And out of the annals of weird history comes this news. London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down.
Whoa, 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 whoa. London Bridge is falling down. Stop that.
What?
Is this a story about a nursery rhyme?
Oh, gosh, no. This is for real.
Really? London Bridge is falling down?
Yep. But before it sinks, someone buys it.
What? Buys it?
Yes. You see, it was in 1962 that the London Bridge, it was 130-year-old at the time, and it was discovered that it was sinking into the Thames River, and it was unable to handle the 21st century traffic demands. So in 1971, it was reborn in a brand-new planned community of 8,000 people in Arizona.
Arizona? That's cowboy country.
It is. But anyway, Robert McCulloch, founder of the Lake Havasu City, won the old bridge with a $2.4 million bid at the City of London's auction in 1968.
Wow.
So McCulloch then spent another $7 million to have it moved to the community that he established in 1964.
This isn't a joke, is it? They really moved the London Bridge?
No joke. And the bridge's exterior granite blocks were numbered, and they were transported by ship. Then it was rebuilt over a reinforced concrete structure built on a land in between the main part of the city and Pittsburgh Point, a peninsula that connected it to Lake Havasu. Now, after the bridge was reconstructed, the Bridgewater Channel Canal was dredged under the bridge and flooded.
I still can't believe they moved the London Bridge.
And it was officially dedicated at a ceremony on October the 10th in 1971. Now, Los Angeles Times report that said at the end it called it a bizarre ceremony combining hoary English pomp and Arizona informality.
That's good.
And McCulloch, better known, and Sir Peter M. Studd, the Lord Mayor of London, and other London officials, and ladies and gents, and the 17th century pikemen were in attendance along with 25,000 spectators.
My, oh my, the London Bridge. Who knew? Okay, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And with that, finally, it's time for our sports update.
And it would be on this day, April the 18th in 1809, that the 2,000 guineas race would open for the first time in England.
Guineas? Guineas? You mean like guinea pigs?
No, not guinea pigs.
Oh.
The 2,000 guineas is the first of the classic run in England each year. The race takes place at the Newmarket Racecourse on a Saturday in early April, and it is generally the very first major race that Britain's top three-year-old thoroughbred colts will compete in each season.
Oh, wow, a horse race.
Oh, yes, a horse race. So, sir, Bunbury created the 2,000 guineas to test England's top thoroughbred racehorses over the distance of a mile. The inaugural running of the 2,000 guineas took place in April of 1809 with Sir Bunbury putting up the 2,000 guineas. That was approximately 2,000 pounds or money that was the purse for the race.
Ooh, this was a nice surprise for me today.
Oh, and to finish out our sports update, it would be on this date in 1964 that Sandy Koufax went into baseball record history with a 9-0 pitching.
What's a 9-0? Was that the score?
No. You see, it was in the third inning against the New York Mets that Sandy Koufax threw 9 pitches.
Oh.
To 3 batters.
Mm-hmm.
He had 9 strikes, and he closed out the inning with 3 outs. And now you know the rest of the story.
Wow. So, Brian, what's on our program for today?
Well, today we're going to be continuing with part 3 of our study series, The Veil and the Covering.
This is going to be educational and fun.
That's right. And this week we will include a sermon by J.C. Philpott with more information on the veils and bring in a few more details on the veil and where it was used. Now, next week, the veil in the temple from the Old Testament to its place in the New Testament.
We had fun last week sharing about the word veil, how it's spelled differently, and the different types of veils.
And this evening, we're going to be continuing to share more about the different types of veils and its coverings, and how they were used.
And where they were used, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament.
And we're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly part of the veils, and the veils that have been used for prophecy over the years.
Oh, this is going to be fun, y'all. So grab your coffee or tea, grab a pen or pencil and paper.
Or grab your computer. Well, no, not really computer. But grab your iPhone or your iPad, and while you're taking notes, remember to write down any thoughts or comments and or questions that you might have.
Because
why?
When we get to the end of the study this evening, you'll be able to call in with your questions and comments.
Well, that's my favorite part of the program.
You are so funny. Anyway, Montel will be here waiting for your calls, and she will take your questions and comments, and we want to take as much time with you as we can. So, Brian, let's get going.
You bet. So, Leah, why don't you share with our listeners what that word veil means, and then we can review some of the things that we learned from the last couple of weeks' programs.
Love to. Well, this was pretty interesting. Last week, I shared that Webster's Dictionary defined the word veil as like this: a piece of cloth or net worn usually by women over the head and shoulders and sometimes over the face. It is also something that covers or hides something else.
Wow, now that was pretty interesting.
And lastly, it can be something that resembles a veil, like a veil of stars, or anything else that hides or obscures, like a veil would.
Ah, so it means to uncover some private or secret thing.
Yes, it does. So, to review, a veil can be a concealing item of clothing, like a bridal veil or a concealing curtain. And this has come to mean something that hides or obscures, like a veil.
And speaking of veils, we had some of our listeners ask, are you going to talk about the veil in the temple?
Yeah, that's right. And we will be, folks. But we will share the temple veil in our last part of the study in part 4.
And so we finished up last week by talking about the veil that was used by Moses, such as when he put on the veil and when he took off the veil.
Yeah, and that was really cool. How his face shone with radiance, showing the glory of God. And then later, how the light would fade from his face.
And from Dr. Constable's notes, we learned the following: that the evidence of its close relationship with God convicted them, and evidently Moses' shining face was evidence to the Israelites that he had been in the Lord's presence, and that what he had told them was an oracle from God.
That was so cool. Wow. To have stood in the presence of the Lord, the great I Am.
Wow. Sounds like my printer is being inherited by something behind me, or it's just going off. Well, then, and Dr. Constable shared this awesome insight on these veils. He said that Moses' veil further illustrated the mental barrier of preventing Israel from recognizing Christ in the Old Testament.
Hmm.
And through faith in Christ, the veil is removed and believers enjoy free access to God who transforms life.
You know, this was really powerful. And learning more about the veil really helps to understand our walk and our journey with the Master, our Lord Jesus Christ.
You're so right, Leah. And today we want to dig into this area just a little deeper. So get out your pens, pencils, and paper, or your iPhone or your iPad or computer, because we have a lot more on the veil and the coverings.
This is going to be very educational and fun.
Now, as we continue with the veil and the coverings, we find again that that word appears in the book of Malachi.
I'd like to read this one, please.
Well, all righty, my bride, it's all yours.
Okay, folks, turn to your Bibles. Turn your Bibles to the book of Malachi. That's in the Old Testament. And I'm going to be reading chapter 2, verse 13. This is from the Amplified Version. This is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with your own weeping and sighing, because the Lord no longer regards your offering or accepts it with favor from your hand.
And now in this verse, that Hebrew word for covering is the word kasah, and it means to cover. It means to conceal, it means to hide, or it means to be covered.
It also means to clothe or cover for protection and to overwhelm.
And now we wanted to spend a little bit more time on this particular verse because we felt that it would remove the veil from our eyes on things that only happen in the Old Testament, but that they are still happening today.
So what did you find out about this verse in the commentaries, Brian?
Well, I did some digging, and one of my favorite people to go to is Dr. Constable. We talked about he's got this really great website called soniclight.org that you can go to, and he's got all the books of the Bible, and it's not just his commentaries, but he's made a collection of commentaries from like Matthew Henry, from Calvin, from Burke, from several other people, and it's a really great resource tool for someone who wants to do some digging. But anyway, here's what he had to say about this verse. He said that the people evidently could not figure out why God was withholding blessing from them, so Malachi gave them the reasons.
Okay.
Another sin involved weeping profusely over the Lord's altar because he did not answer their prayers, and while at the same time dealing treacherously with their wives.
Ouch.
And weeping over the altar must be a figurative way of describing weeping as they worshiped Yahweh. And there is this. The marriage relationship is a covenant relationship. Isn't that interesting? The marriage relationship is a covenant relationship.
Well, that's true. And here's a great passage about our relationship with God and marriage. This is from Proverbs 2, verse 17, New King James Version. Who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of God?
And the marriage relationship is not just a covenant relationship, and those who break their vows should not expect God to bless them. God himself acted as a witness when the couple made their covenant of marriage in their youth.
All this about a covering.
All this about a covering. Well, that's pretty interesting. So, let's see.
What else did you find?
Well, to finish out, I wanted to share this with you and our listeners. And this is a commentary from Ellicott's commentary. He said, the prophet now rebukes the people, the Israelites, for their frivolous divorces of their very first wives, which was a natural result of their marriage with heathen women.
No, they didn't do that, did they?
Oh, yeah, they did. So when they were covering the altar with their tears and crying out to God, oh, God, help me, with complaints from the Israelite women who were divorced against their will.
All this for another woman?
Oh, yeah, it's the old Texas two-step. Trade a wife in for someone half the age.
And half the brain.
Now, that was funny. So let's get back to our covering, dear.
Okay, okay.
Now, another covering or a veil that was used was a kerchief.
Now, a kerchief, as we know it today, is a square piece of cloth that is worn around your neck or as a covering for your head. So where did you find this word, Brian?
Well, it's actually used in the King James Version. Just about everyone else in their translations uses that word veil in the translation except King James. They call it a kerchief.
I've got this one. It's found in Ezekiel 13, verse 21. Your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord.
And we wanted to share with you these verses with you from Ezekiel chapter 13. And you're going to see how this all unfolds in a minute. And so we're going to be reading these from the Amplified Bible. So we're going to be looking right at verse 13. So Leah, why don't you start us off?
Okay. Now you, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who are prophesying out of the wishful thinking of their own mind inspiration.
And prophesy against them and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the woman who fastened magic, protective charms on all of their wrists and make veils for the heads of those of every stature to capture the human lives.
Will you capture the lives of my people, but keep your own?
Ah, and you have profaned me among my people in payment for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, and killing people who should not die, and giving a guarantee of life to others, to those who should not live, because of your lies to my people who pay attention to lies.
So, once again, in Ezekiel 13, verse 21, it reads, your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord.
Wow. Now, in this particular passage, the Hebrew word here is that word mishpahoth, and it means a long veil that is spread out.
Okay. So what else does it mean?
Well, it just really means it's a long veil that is spread out.
A spread out veil.
And now we have this. Now, this is found, this was kind of an interesting piece from the Holman Bible Dictionary.
Ezekiel compares the kerchiefs or veils used by women who prophesied from their own inspiration, by the way, not God's. Comparing verse 17 in the New American Standard Bible, it is to use these veils as nets used to catch birds.
And according to this comparison, the kerchiefs that were like nets used to catch the souls of persons.
Ah.
And God declared through Ezekiel that he would free his people from the snares that these women had set for them.
Wow, the kerchiefs or veils were used like nets to catch souls? That just gives me the chills.
Ooh. Yes, it is. Well, we've got another portion here that we want to get into, but we thought we would just take a short break, and Montel's going to play a little bit of music for us in the background if she's still with us. Are you there with us, Montel?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Well, why don't you play us a short little song here, and as soon as it's done, we'll be right back, and we're going to talk about a sermon message given by J.C. Philpott, and you're going to be really intrigued with some of the things that we found out about the veils.
All right, here we go. I'm going to play some music off one of your CDs, Brian. I never want to be blessed. Brian's music is really anointed. He's just an amazing, amazing, gifted man of God. So, again, make sure you come back and listen for the rest of the show, and we'll have the phone lights opened at the end.
But for me, my feet had gotten lost. My steps had nearly slid. Now I bring myself to you. You hold me by your hand, and there's no one here upon the earth that I desire but you. Now I bring myself to you. You hold me by your hand, and there's no one here upon the earth that I desire but you. My flesh, my heart may fail me, but God is strength of all. It is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in you. Now I bring myself to you. You hold me by your hand, and there's no one here upon the earth that I desire but you. Now I bring myself to you. You hold me by your hand, and there's no one here upon the earth that I desire but you. Truly good is God to all of us. To such are pure in heart. But for me, my feet had gotten soft, my steps had nearly slid. Now I bring myself to you. You hold me by your hand, and there's no one here upon the earth that I desire but you. Now I bring myself to you. You hold me by your hand, and there's no one here upon the earth that I desire but you.
Thank you, my sister. Now, we want to get back to the study, and we want to share with you some really neat things about the veils. And we did some digging, and this is what we found from a sermon that was done by J.C. Philpott.
Oh, so who was this man, Brian? I'm sure there are people out there who've never heard of him. I didn't until you shared it with me last week.
Well, he was born Joseph Charles Philpott back in 1802, and he died in 1869. And while he was alive, he was known as the Seceder. He had resigned from the Church of England back in 1835, and then he became what was known as a strict and particular Baptist. While he was with the Church of England, he was a fellow of Worcester College, Oxford, and after becoming a strict and particular Baptist, he became the editor of the Gospel Standard magazine and served in that capacity for over 20 years.
A Baptist, who knew?
Well, anyway, he preached a sermon at Zohar Chapel in London back on July the 28th, 1844, and he spoke about the veil.
This is really cool, folks.
Well, it is, and sit back. You're going to really enjoy this message. And you just might want to take some notes, and you will be both astounded and amazed at what he preached at back in 1844.
Well, I'm ready.
Well, here again, we're going to be quoting J.C. Philpott throughout this segment of the study. And with that, here are some of the things that he had shared. First, he said, "What the veil is, there is then a veil upon the human heart, and what is meant by the expression?"
Now, we covered in our earlier studies that ancient veils worn by Eastern women were used to cover up their beauty. It was a thick covering which they wore over their face when they went abroad. It being considered to this day in the East highly indelicate that a single feature of a female's countenance should be seen. We shared in part one that Judah, in Genesis 38, verses 14 and 15, did not know Tamar because she covered herself with a veil.
Now, we've not gone into the veil of the temple yet, but here is J.C. Philpott's take. He said, thus also, we find that the veil of the tabernacle, which separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place, was a very thick, for it was consisted of four distinct coverings.
He continued with this. These four distinct pieces seem to have been quilted together with needlework, which we know was the case with the hanging for the tabernacle door. And all these put together into one piece formed a thick, dense, impenetrable covering. The veil of the tabernacle was then more like a curtain, or rather four curtains sewed over one another, than what we understand by the word veil.
And thus, by the veil upon the heart, we are to understand a covering or a curtain, so dense and so thick and closely knit as to exclude all light from penetrating through it, not merely just shutting out the person from seeing, but also shutting out the person from being seen.
Oh, that's pretty powerful.
Now, here's where it really got interesting for me as I started reading his sermon. He says, in looking then at the veil upon the heart of man by nature, we must take with this idea of a dense, impenetrable covering to understand what the Spirit of God means by the expression.
Wow. So a man or woman's heart can become so thick and impenetrable that they will not let anything or anyone in, even God. Boy, that's cold.
It is. So if we look then at the veil over the man's heart by nature, we will find that it consists of covering upon covering, just like those four coverings of that veil.
Mm-hmm.
And here are some examples of these man-made veils.
So folks, get out your pens if you haven't already, because you're going to want to take some notes. This is eye-opening and powerful.
One of the first veils that J.C. Philpott shares in this veil is the veil of ignorance.
Mm.
Now, let me repeat that to you. That's the veil of ignorance.
Mm.
He says, if we think back to the days before we were saved, we lived in darkness. Yes, darkness. You know, the Bible. God's love and grace were all hidden from us, and even salvation. And as I like to tell, basically, people just didn't know nothing.
Not a zip.
That's right. And our minds were stuck in thick clouds of ignorance, if we think about it. We didn't know God or ourselves and what we did here on earth or what would await for us in the hereafter. Basically, we were in darkness because of that ignorance.
And we had shared earlier in Isaiah 25, verse 7 in the King James Version, and he will destroy this mountain. In this mountain, the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations.
And then that darkness is then mentioned again in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 2. Not all of 2, but just in the first half of 2.
Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Wow, that is amazing.
And here is an eye-opener for you. And this is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 18. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified. It reads, for their moral understanding is darkened, and their reasoning is clouded. They are alienated and self-banished from the life of God, with no share in it. This is because of the willful ignorance and spiritual blindness that is deep-seated within them, because of the hardness and the insensitivity of their heart.
So people are blinded because of their ignorance and lack of understanding. Wow, now that is heavy.
Well, it is, which leads us to number 2 on our list, and that is the veil of unbelief. Let me repeat that. That's the veil of unbelief.
Oh, that would be about the scribes and the Pharisees. Even when they heard and saw miracles take place, they refused to believe.
They did. Even like the raising of Lazarus from the dead, they didn't believe. And then when they saw that blind people were healed and a return of their sight, they still didn't believe.
And when they saw the lame walk and the deaf hear, same thing.
That's right. And then the writer finished with this. It says, "This is just our state by nature. Unbelief has such possession of our hearts that we cannot believe the things of God until they are made known to us by divine revelation." Now, I don't know about you, but when things just happen in our life and miracles happen and you just can't explain them, it seems to be a supernatural event, but it's not. What it really is, it's the power of God.
That's right. It is the power of God.
So number three on our list is the veil of self-righteousness. I'm going to repeat that again. That's the veil of self-righteousness.
Brian, I think that all we can do here is to quote the writer, because he answers this question in a very unique way.
Well, and I believe you're right. So from his sermon in 1844, J.C. Philpott from the pulpit continues with this. What a motley monster is man in his natural state, full of evil, continually committing sin, daring God to his face by a thousand crimes, and yet setting up his own righteousness.
So, if man commits sins against God or against man and country, should they expect to make it to heaven just because they do good works and have good thoughts and good intentions?
How many times have we heard people that are just sinning right off the wall and they go, "But I did something good over here. Doesn't that count for something?"
Yeah, really.
Well, but J.C. Philpott continues with this. He says, "But the veil upon his heart prevents him from seeing that by anything that he can do, he cannot please God." So, that's right. So it doesn't matter what he does, he still cannot please God. So, you know, here's something to think about. We think that we can please God by what we think or do, and that we are cool. But in reality, we're nothing but sinners. And there is nothing that we can do to impress God, because he is not a respecter of persons.
And Mr. Philpott added this: self-righteousness in all its forms is so interlaced with every thought of our heart, so intertwined with every fiber of our natural mind, that though we know ourselves to be sinners, yet we self-applaud and we are self-complacent. And that bids us to do something to gain God's favor.
Oh, wow. I can sit down. Oh, yay me. Look what I did. Oh, look what I did. Oh.
Okay.
And that now leads us to the number four on our list. It's called the veil of superstition. Let me repeat that again. It's the veil of superstition.
Oh, my. Is that like a black cat? A veil of superstition?
Well, it could be. But here again, Philpott shares in his sermon, he says, "What a hold has superstition over the minds of men. If we go into any country parish, what superstition universally reigns over the minds of those dead in sin?"
And in town as well as country, in dissenter as well as in churchmen, what superstitious feeling prevails? And how much passes off for religion and piety that was never wrought in the heart and conscience by God the Spirit.
And he then finished with this thought: "I believe there are many people who cannot sin comfortably until they have said their prayers and cannot launch out with an easy conscience into the pleasures of the world until they have gone to church or chapel. They must attend the ceremonies and forms of religion to get a license for sin, and as a schoolboy learns from his tasks to obtain a holiday."
Ooh, I know how it goes. I can sin all week, then go and confess my sins at church, and I get a new clean slate to sin again.
yeah, it's time. I got a new week. It's all done. So that was good. So listen, now we're going to kind of go on to number five. And number five is The Veil of Prejudice.
This was very powerful when I first read it. And it is very profound. He continued, and then there is the veil of prejudice. How deeply prejudiced are men's minds against the truth and against all who profess or preach it. Have we ourselves not in time past walked in this path?
And what deep prejudice have our minds been steeped in against the truths of God's word? And have we not looked upon the people who helped and preached them rather as monsters than men?
That's amazing.
And then he continues. He says, and when I walk through the streets of the town in which I live, I can see sometimes prejudice staring out from the very eyes of the people, especially the well-dressed and respectable whom I meet. And though they cannot, through mercy, bring anything against my life and conduct, so great is their prejudice, because I hold and preach the truth, that I believe they look upon me as a worse character than an adulterer, a swearer, or even a drunkard.
That last sentence really hit me hard when I read it. Then when Brian read it out loud, oh my gosh, haven't we sometimes felt this way? I know I have.
You know, you just walk into understand why somebody is angry with you or upset with you, but it's the fact that the light is in you. And then Pot finished with this. He said, the prejudice painted in their very features sometimes almost amuses and sometimes annoys me, sometimes stirs up my pride, and sometimes makes me thankful that I differ from them and suffer reproach for the Lord's sake.
Well, number six is the veil of enmity.
That's right, Leah. The carnal mind is enmity against God.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the veil of enmity. And he says, what a bitter enmity there is in man against the humbling truth of the gospel, against all who live godly in Christ Jesus, and against everything spiritual and heavenly, or that breathes the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah. Well, number six is the covering or veil of pride. In Proverbs 16:18, it tells us about pride. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Ah, yes, the veil of pride. And this, he says, and oh, what a dense veil is that, which is like an unclean bird, spreads its baneful wings over a man's heart, that he will not submit to the humbling truths of the gospel.
And number seven on the hit list from J.C. Philpott's sermon is this. There is a veil of hypocrisy in which man is so deeply sunk, prompting him to every hypocritical word and action.
That's right, the veil of hypocrisy. Now, that word hypocrisy in the dictionary means the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. Basically, you don't walk the talk.
Well, here's a great Bible verse that speaks about hypocrisy. This is from Matthew chapter 23, verse 13 in the New American Standard Bible. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people. For you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in.
And we wanted to finish this out with the ending part of his sermon. He said, because of his words, he speaks the truth of the veils and the coverings. And he closes with this. He says, all these coverings, one upon another, are so spread over the heart of man by nature that the truth of God of itself cannot reach him, so that he has no eyes to see, and he has no ears to hear, and no heart to feel, and no conscience to submit to the power of truth.
Oh, and what a sunken state man is. We never can abase man too much. Oh, the gulf of misery and ruin into which he has fallen through the transgressions of our first parents.
And oh, the depths of depravity into which he has been hurled.
Oh, the bottomless abyss of destruction and guilt into which, when Adam fell, he cast himself and all his race.
But though so awful is man's state, yet the veil upon his heart prevents him from seeing the depths of his own fall. This is one of the worst features of man's ruin, that it is hidden from him, that he knows nothing of it until, though through a miracle of grace, he is plucked out of the pit of horror, and he is saved from going down to the abyss of hell with all of his sins and crimes upon his head.
Ministers, therefore, can never abase man too much, nor point out too clearly the awful abyss of ruin and degradation into which he has fallen.
And the more that they point it out, the more witnesses have they in the conscience of those who know something of these things by painful experience. And then this part of the sermon is finished with this: but the veil on man's heart hides him from his own ruin, and until the veil in a measure is removed, he never knows, he never sees, and he never feels one truth aright.
Now that was awesome, Brian.
And we have some more things to share with you.
That's right, we do. But you will have to tune in next Monday at 6 p.m. for part 4 of our series, The Veil and the Coverings.
Ah, yes, part 4. It's going to learn some more things about the temple and the veils. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, if you've got a question or comment that you'd like to share with either Evangelist Montel, Leah, or moi, myself, we would love to hear from you. And so you can do that right now. Grab your pen and paper. Here's the phone number to call. That number is 347-308-8837. That phone number again is 347-308-8837. And this would be a good time to call with your questions. And when you call, I think Montel's going to tell you to press number 1 so that you can be connected to the program. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Brian. And now, back to you, Montel.
Praise God, praise God. Another powerful teaching. And we already have a caller on the line, so I want to open up the mic. And I think you'll recognize this person. She hasn't called in for a while, but truly feel that God impressed her to be on here tonight. I haven't spoke to her, but I just feel it in my spirit. So I'm going to open up her phone line.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello. And who do we have?
This is Minister Darlene Morgan from Michigan, and I was calling to tell you what a beautiful, beautiful message that was tonight. I didn't get in on the beginning, and I didn't get the other ones. I'm going to have to go back to Montel's page and listen to them all. But it was very, very informative and very wonderful to hear that message tonight.
Well, thank you very much. We are blessed. It's all God.
It is. We thank you for calling in. It's really good to hear your voice again.
Yeah.
And I thank the Lord for getting you home safely from Kentucky, Montel.
Thank you. And we're going to be going back two more times. Well, actually, I'm just going to say, Brian and Lee, don't be surprised if we're in Texas before long, because we have there's some branches going up out there, and we're going to be going forth all over the United States. So keep us in prayer. God's really opening doors. And I want to get other people involved, and maybe we can come out that way and have something in the park or something with you guys. That would be awesome. It's just, I'll share with you all later, but it was a long drive. Got very little sleep, but it was worth it. God did some amazing, amazing things, and my daughter rededicated her life back to God this weekend, and that was one of the most beautiful things. Out under the tent at 11 p.m., long after the revival was over, she just... I'm just overwhelmed and so grateful, but she came forth and gave her life back to God to be used for his glory at 11 p.m. on Saturday night. So I thank God for what happened this weekend.
Well, praise God.
I've
seen part of your stuff. I've seen your husband's testimony, and it made me cry. You keep doing your work for the Lord, sis, and your ministry is powerful, And I am going to go back to part one and two, and I'll listen in next week for part four because that's a very interesting topic, and I really enjoyed it and got a lot out of it. So thank you both very much.
Love you very much, sis.
Love you, and you guys all be blessed.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
If there's any more callers, I know earlier, and I thank God for what he's doing in my family's life. You know, when we pray for our family, even though it may seem like it's not in our timing, those prayers go up, and Jesus intercedes for us, and my family's all starting to come back. Praise be to God. I encourage people to just keep praying without ceasing, and my brother-in-law's been starting to listen. He was listening to the beginning of your program. I'm hoping they'll get the call back in, but he had some meetings he had to get to, but we're getting a lot of new listeners, and I wanted to share something with you and Brian I thought would be very encouraging to you, because I'm starting to learn the how you read different things on the new graphs, because they change things on here, how you check your listens. Mm-hmm. And in the past week, since your last show, from 1 week to the next, you had 150% growth.
Good night. Woo!
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
That's awesome, huh? I wanted to share that with you on the air tonight. I was like, wow, God, that's good, because I like to just go back and check things every day. With the new program, though, used to you could see your all-the-time listens, but numbers change every day, so it's kind of hard. But I like the growth thing, because it actually shows you how many new listeners you're getting and how much more it's being played. That's pretty good, you guys, in a week's time, 150% growth. That's pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
Yes,
well,
it is. So I wanted to encourage you in that tonight. And I am just, I'm telling you what, my spirit man is still jumping, and my husband and I had church coming home last night. I am just so encouraged in what God's doing. And, you know, not only just for us that he's gonna open a worship center to utilize people to discipleship them and to really truly teach them out of the Word of God, but also for an opportunity for the amazing host I have like you guys, that we have connections, that more doors that are opening for these powerful messages to go out. I pray for that all the time, that God would open doors to bring more listeners, because you are so anointed in this. You are so structured. I know God called you to this, and I want it going for us as much as possible. So now we've got all this new Kentucky and Tennessee family, y'all, and they're getting on board, and we're going to have these shows listed in our newsletter through Sons of Thunder Ministries. And it's going to be going all over the United States. They're going to be promoting all these shows and our times and everything. So God is good. We went in faith. We stepped out in faith this past weekend. And God made the way through prayer and various ways. And, you know, even though it looked like we had huge mountains in front of us to get there, we stepped out and God opened the door. And when you know when it's him opening those doors. And
absolutely.
One of the moments down there, we were literally going through the middle of a huge mountain. And my husband's like, this road is right through this mountain. And just like a revelation dropped in my spirit. And I said, you know what God just put in my heart? He said, look, even though the mountains are all around us, he made a way right through for us. And that just blessed me that, you know, just that quick God put that on my heart.
Cool.
But I just wanted to share with you, you know, you're growing on here. And That's pretty amazing numbers, 150% growth. So keep up the amazing work that you're doing. You're blessing lives. People like your shows. And all my listeners, keep sharing the on-demand links forward, because that lets new people that's maybe never listened get in on these teachings. Brian and Leah's teachings are amazing, because the way they do it, they break it down into these series. And, you know, sometimes it can be overwhelming for people to have a bunch of stuff brought and stuffed in their mind all at once. But the way you do these teachings, you break them down, and it's amazing how you do it. I really, truly think it helps people to be able to follow and understand better.
Well, wonderful. Well, listen, I'm going to wrap us up here.
Okay.
Do we have
some calls? No. We go as long as Montel wants to go.
Okay.
I was just going to say I'll give it just another minute. If anyone has a prayer need, or you want to call in, 347-308-8837, and you press 1. I know we had some callers on earlier, but some of them had to go at the time and been getting prayer requests. we did get a prayer request through a message, and I wanted to bring that up. And mm-hmm. she's a dear sister in Christ. That is, she actually does some ministry work. Hold on just a second. Let me get her information, okay? I always mm-hmm. like to bring, because sometimes we get in through message. Anyhow, her name is Kimberly, and she is the president and founder of a Christian organization called Girls with a Purpose. But she said she is right now she's in debt inside. She said she's exhausted and she needs prayer physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Can we just lift her up tonight, please?
Sure.
And what was her name again?
Her name? Oh, I'm sorry. My messengers is blowing up. I try to follow them all. I got people all over messaging me, praise be to God. And now I'm getting people that's listening that where I was just down south. They're telling me they're hearing that hillbilly slang because I'm saying that y'all. <That's cute. laughs> I've been saying that since you. I got that from Brian and Leah because that was contagious from them. Her name was Kimberly. So I'm sorry, that blessed me. I love you, sister.
Okay. Let me pray for Kimberly.
Oh, goodness. That's awesome.
Heavenly
I love
Father.
My new family down south. But, yes, please lift her up. Her name is Kimberly. So she's needing refreshed, renewed, and she needs some encouragement.
Father, I just lift up Kimberly to you. She's a special girl to you, and I know that. Lord, she's fighting to stay close to you, Lord. I pray that you will renew that spirit of healing, the spirit of strength within her right now. Pick her up, Lord. Hold her tight and love on her and let her be strengthened by you because that's the only strength that matters. Lord, I pray that you will comfort her, that you will give her that wonderful, rosy outlook to the world because we know that we're in the world. But guess what? Jesus, you conquered the world. So, Lord, we have no reasons not to be positive and excited about everything that's going on. Bad stuff comes. We are in a fallen world. We have a fallen condition. But you know what? Christ came and made us pure again. So I lift
Amen.
That up, and I thank you for her willingness to ask for prayer. So many people don't do that.
Yes, Father
Lord,
God.
I pray that this will encourage her and that you will hold her hand and give her a hug tonight, Lord. Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And if there are any of my new found family in Christ from down in Kentucky and Tennessee that are listening tonight and just would like to say hello to Brian and Leah, I encourage you to call in to encourage them because I think it's important for, you know, it's to encourage one another. And that's one thing about the ministry we're part of, we're family. And you guys can do that by calling 347-308-8837 and pressing 1. I'm going to stay on here just a few more minutes and I feel a move in my spirit that I shouldn't get off the line at this very moment. I never like to be disobedient to what the Spirit puts on my heart. So maybe there's someone out there, you're struggling, and maybe you're scared, and because I get that from people. They'll message on the comments and various things that they don't like to be heard on the air. But maybe if you're one of those people and you're needing prayer, please feel free, if you don't want to be on the air, to contact me or Lee or Brian. We're all on Facebook. You can message me, Evangelist Montel Fields, and I'll gladly pray with you. Brian and Leah Fouts, they're both on Facebook. I know they would gladly pray with you. And what's some more of your contact information that you want to share with the listeners? Because you have various ways they can contact you, and you also have various ways that they can be encouraged through your ministry, through your book, through your CDs. Brian has an amazing blog. I would really love you to share those because I truly feel in my spirit. I was so touched by the power of God this weekend. I am so humbled and blessed in what happened this weekend. I've been praying for something like this for a long time, to just be able to get out and go and be used as the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And I truly feel in my spirit there is really someone listening that is very, very down tonight. They're burdened. I feel like some of it might be to do with finances. And they feel like they're to the point that no one's listening, that there's no one that cares. I just really feel the witness in my spirit. Please, if you are really struggling, know that we're here for you, and we want to pray with you. And if you don't feel like doing it on air again, please contact us on Facebook. And Brian and Leah, will you please give some of your contact information as well?
Sure. They can always reach us through the website. That website address is www.hazakministries.com. That's H-A-Z-A-K ministries.com. You can also, through that website, there's a place on there that says our blogs. You can click on that. I keep a list of blogs that are on there for this month and the current month. And those blogs are actually called Be Encouraged. And we try to find a word or a phrase each and every month for something to lift you up, to give you hope, something for you to take a look and move forward with. You can reach me on through Facebook as well, at Brian Fouts. There's a couple of them on there, but you can find me in Texas. You can also, oh, Leah said, spell your last name, she said. That last name is Fouts, F as in friendly, O-U-T-Z. First name is Brian, and my wife's name is Leah, L-E-A-H. You can also reach us at brian@hazakministries.com. That'll send an email directly to me, or even to leah@hazakministries.com. Also on that same website, there's information about our books, about a couple of CDs that we have out. There's also a page on there that it, for prayer requests. And so we do have people who send us prayer requests from all over the country, outside of the country, and from Kenya and from other places in Africa and India. We get prayer requests from there as well. Leah is a prayer intercessor, and she has a group of other prayer intercessors that head up prayer ministries that all work together. So we do our best to pray over all of the prayers that come to us. We actually take time out to sit down and to pray over those, because those are important. And we would love to hear from you. And so, again, you can reach us at that address at www.hazakministries.com. That's H-A-Z-A-K ministries.com. And if you need to call us, if you're inside of the continental U.S., unless you just want to pay for an extra long phone call, you can reach us on our handy-dandy landline out here on the Hill at area code 979-357-2215. That number out here again is 979-357-2215. And where we live, we call it the Hill because that's where we live. We live up on top of a hill out in the country. Leah, you got something to share with the listeners?
Oh, let me see what I've got here. Well, let me just thank you, listeners, for reaching out radio. This was neat. It's neat to have people listen in so we're not just talking to the air. And thanks for tuning in, and for all of those people who do support this radio station and the ministries that partner with them. It's an honor to be featured guests here with Evangelist Montel Fields on Reaching Out Radio, where we are reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
That's pretty cool, my dear. You do that well.
I did that well.
I did. And it's always a pleasure to be here with our great sister. And, just one last thing, just in case anybody wants to know. We've also written a book called From Misery to Ministry, A Walk of Faith Through the Loss of a Loved One. That's how we basically got started into our full-time ministry. A little more than 12 years ago, we lost our only child, our only daughter, tragically to a murder. And through that, God brought about a restoration of our marriage. He brought about a complete understanding of our walk and where we were. He gave us peace about her passing. So that enough so that we share with people that she's no longer in our past, that she's in our future. Mm-hmm. And that book has been a real blessing. The book is also available in a paperback book. It's also available in a special edition hardbound copy book if you like to read hardbound copies. And there's even an audio book on there, and both Leah and I read for the audio book as well. Mm-hmm. And as of January, actually as of December, Leah and I just finished our second book called Steps of Faith. And that's going to be available through Tate Publishing and through us, through our website. Probably, we're hoping, by about October of this year. It's going to be a really great book to help you in your walk, helping you to learn to take those steps of faith and to walk out into faith and what it really means. And pray for us. This has been a very busy year, the past 12 months, for writing. My beautiful bride, Leah, is writing a book called Indian Summer. It's going to be a children's book on stories that her grandmother told her about Indians. It's a real fun little book series that she's going to be starting on. We're also going to be working on a grief book called Walking Through Grief, A Journey Through Peace. We're almost through with both of those books, and then those two will be off to the publishers, and hopefully we'll have those out early next year, mid-next year sometime. And again, we just love the opportunity to be here on the radio with Evangelist Montel and with some of the other people that she's had on her show, where she says it's Reaching Out Radio, where we are reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And we also want to say again, as Montel was sharing with you earlier, if you've got time, if you'd still like to call in, you can still call in, and you can call Montel at 347-308-8837. That phone number again is 347-308-8837. And I think she's given you information how you can text her as well. So if you text, she can also let us know what those messages are. Well,
yeah,
Montel,
I have another one. We have another request from... We met this dear family out in Kentucky this weekend at the Tent Revival. They're also part of the Sons of Thunder ministry. And out where we were at, a lot of them are listening online because it's hard to get phone service when you get down in all those, you know, in the hills and all those trees. Me and Dustin didn't have phone service in many of the places. But one Evangelist Philip Wilma, I can't even talk tonight. Sorry, dear brother. I'm so tired. But he is an amazing and fire man of God, and his family were some of the most amazing people that you want to meet. And he's working really hard going forth. And he messaged in, and he said to tell you guys. He said, tell them I said to keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Praise God, and to keep me and my family in their prayers, and tell them I love them too. And that was from Philip. And, so he's wanting prayer for him and his family because they're working hard for the ministry. And when you're evangelizing, like this weekend, Dustin and I, we love being used, but there is sacrifice to it. And he's going forth a lot. He's been doing this, I mean, really going forth. So he needs prayer for strength and provision and for God to watch over his family. And I want to say thank you, too, to Bishop Eddie Chaney for sharing our shows on his radio gospel music jukebox, and for all of our what an amazing support system that all this new family down south are, you know, they're coming forth, the ones that can to listen tonight. That blesses me. That says something to me, and I thank you guys for that. I'm just really humbled in that. That's love to me and dedication. But a lot of new listeners on the show tonight, and I thank God for that, for each and every one of you. And if anybody else has a prayer request, I'm just going to wait just a couple more minutes. I'm glad I did wait because I did get Phillips, and I always know when there's someone. But before the show closes,
while you're doing that, let me go ahead and just pray for Philip and his family.
Yes, that's good.
Father, we just lift up Philip and his family and the ministry, Father, that you've called him into. Father, first and foremost, we ask for a hedge of angels to protect he and his family. Guard him and protect him against the evil one, and that, Father, that you would bring them a double portion of blessing and favor this year, Father.
Father, he is
out doing the call that you have given him, the vision to call, Father, and with their ministry,
yes,
and and Father, that we pray for his family. We pray for the provisions, Father, that they need, whatever that they are. And that, Father, that this is a reminder, Father, for him, that in your word it says truly, truly, if whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've already received it. And we know in John in 15:7 it tells us that if we abide in him and he abides in us, that we can ask anything of the Father and it will be given to us. Because Father, because God is not a he's not a God of lack. He's not a God of want. He is our provider.
Yes,
and
Lord.
We just lift this family up to you, that Father, that you would guide them, that you would give them wisdom and discernment in moving forward, and that Father, that you would give them endurance, Father, that you would give them that perseverance to run the race as Paul tells us to do. And that, Father, that I just pray, Father, for him right now, that, Father, that you would grant all of these things in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. And,
amen.
And I just want to share with, and I just want to share with Philip that as our ministry's name is called, Hazak. It's a Hebrew word that means encouragement. It means strength. And as we like to sign off on the radio shows from time to time, we always like to tell people to be strong and to be Hazak. And so I encourage him to be Hazak, just as Lord Yahweh spoke to Joshua, where he told him to be strong and to be courageous. And so, my brother Philip, I ask you to just stand in God's word, stand in him, and stand in the faith, knowing full well that he will make you strong and give you that persistence and that endurance that you'll need.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you guys so much. You did an amazing job tonight. And again, thank you to all of our new listeners. And I thank God for what he's doing in all of our lives. I'm so excited in Brian Leah's life, these new books that are coming forth, because you can truly feel the anointing of God in their books. I encourage you. And Brian, your music was some on the road bringing us home last night. And your music was on when the anointing of God fell on us so powerfully, and that's truth. We put it on. We wanted to feel that anointing. When you're out there on the roads and you're tired, that refreshing, that anointing, and your music's anointed. So I encourage you, if you're wanting anointed, just instrumental music, just to go in and worship, shut yourself in the secret place and seek God. Brian CDs would truly bless you. They are just so anointed by God. And I'm just thankful that God brought them into my life. I am so blessed. I may not be a millionaire. I might not have a big mansion on a hill, but the things that I do have in my life are so of so much more worth. God has blessed me with wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ, like Brian and Leah, that are there for me. No matter what I'm going through, I could pick up a phone anytime and call them, and I know that they're there. They'll pray for me. If I need open rebuke, they love me enough to give that to me. I respect that in them, but they do it in love. I just thank God for reaching out radio and for all my new family that we just come in contact with over this weekend, for open doors for a worship center here in Centralia, Illinois, to be used for God's glory. I thank God for what he's doing, and may he continually bless you and Leah, Brian, and keep up the great work. You're faithful. You're very structured. Your show is educational. It's fun. It's heartfelt. It's encouraging. And what an honor to have it on Reaching Out Radio. I love and appreciate you both so much.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. We love you, too.
Well, have a very blessed week ahead. And remember, everybody, go ahead with your line, Brian.
Okay.
Go ahead, dear. So remember, we thank you for calling in, and the most important thing to remember is to be strong and be Hazak.
Amen.
All right. God bless you guys. Everyone have a blessed week ahead, and keep looking on upcoming episodes. We'll have some more coming up this week. I love you all. Good night, and God bless you all.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.